If you mention the word Christmas, no doubt what comes to mind immediately in many people's minds is certain songs, Christmas carols, or songs about Christmas of various kinds. In fact, perhaps you hear some of these songs so often that you get kind of tired of them every time you walk into a store or you walk into a place of business. Frosty the Snowman or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. If you think of Christmas and Christmas songs, you might immediately come into your mind, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, or the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. Have yourself a Merry Little Christmas, Jingle Bells, and the list goes on and on and on, of songs in our society, in our culture, that are just immediately associated with Christmas. Well, today what I want to talk about is, if you permit me the liberty of calling it this, a Christmas carol. You see, what we sing about shows a lot about what makes us happy, what we love and what we trust, or perhaps just even what we wish for. But we're going to look today at a very different kind of a Christmas carol. The first Christmas carol was sung by a woman named Mary, and we heard that just a moment ago. Sometimes even given a name called the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord. But the second Christmas carol was sung by a man, as it's recorded in the Gospel of Luke. A poetic expression of praise for the coming of the Messiah, who would be named Jesus. A man named Zechariah, who was the father of John the Baptist. And in Luke chapter 1, Zechariah expresses his praise. He's filled with the Holy Spirit and actually prophesies, as the Scripture says, speaking about this coming Messiah. And what I'd ask you to do this morning is just to pay attention to Zechariah's praise. Pay attention to what Zechariah wanted to sing about when he thought about the coming of this one. As we read this text, you'll notice right away that this is a cosmic Christmas song having to do with the whole sweep of God's great plan. But you'll also notice that though this is a deeply emotional Christmas song, it's not a sentimental Christmas song. Zechariah is not dreaming about a white Christmas here. He's not thinking about chestnuts roasting on an open fire or gathering with the family all around the fireplace to open presents out of the stockings and all those wonderful and warm memories we associate with Christmas. Zechariah has something much, much more in mind. Let me read it for you today. This is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 68 through 79, where Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesies, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant, the oath that He swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." This is what Zechariah sang about when he thought about the coming of the Messiah. This is what prompted him to speak, what moved him so deeply. And it was this: salvation by a mighty king. That's what Zechariah sung about. Here is Zechariah singing about God keeping His promises to His people, to deliver them, to save them, so that they could be able to serve Him in holiness and righteousness in His kingdom of peace. This is an amazing Christmas song. But it takes us right down to the heart of what it is that we celebrate and why it's worth celebrating. I want to just, for our purposes today, just briefly pick out two aspects of this deliverance, this salvation that Zechariah sings about. Those two aspects being justice and forgiveness. Justice and forgiveness are both reasons why we can celebrate at this time of year. You see, Zechariah rejoiced that through the coming of this king, he spoke of God raising up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. A king from the lineage of David is going to come. He's going to be one who's going to be mighty. He pictures him here as a horn, a strong instrument, who's going to bring about salvation through this strength. That's the kind of king he's going to be. And Zechariah rejoiced then that through the coming of this king, there would be justice. There would be judgment on God's enemies. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us. There's going to be justice in this world. God is going to keep his promises. And through this just judgment, then, God is going to bring about peace. You see, Christmas songs are joyful because they signal the defeat of all the enemies of God. They signal the defeat of all wickedness in God's kingdom. That's a reason for rejoicing. And you know what, folks? It goes far beyond any sentimental feelings we might associate with Christmas, doesn't it? In fact, you'll notice that sentimental Christmas songs don't really give us a reason for rejoicing in the middle of a sinful world, do they? In the face of a gunman slaughtering 20 children and then murdering himself, not to mention other people, chestnuts roasting on an open fire don't give us a whole lot of reason for joy, do they? What is there to celebrate in that? A white Christmas doesn't take away the fact that people die, that this is a sinful world, that is full of violence and bloodshed. You see, when we face the realities of a sinful world, of life in this sinful world, sentimental hopes for a better life, for a better world, don't get very far, do they? As I looked on the internet a little bit to see what Christmas songs were popular these days, one interesting one that came up several times in different listings of people choosing their most popular Christmas songs was actually a song by John Lennon, sung back in 1971, about Merry Christmas, the war is over. And what was it? There was irony in the song about the fact that this is a war-filled world. But the fact of the matter is, although this world can sing about the fact that this is a war-filled world, it doesn't have an answer for it, does it? John Lennon didn't. And this world doesn't. What is going to help us? You see, what will help us is only a real justice which results in real peace. And Jesus is that King who will bring about a kingdom of justice and peace, a kingdom of righteousness and truth. You see, in the middle of a dark world where men continually fail, human governments fail, peace treaties fail, institutions fail, husbands fail, wives fail, parents fail, children fail, we all sin, where violence and sin are all too real, there is joy in knowing that justice will prevail through Jesus, the mighty horn from the house of David. That's a reason to sing. That's a reason to sing even in this real world that we live in right now. But obviously, justice is not the whole story. Because if it were, we would all be judged. We would all find ourselves as God's enemies. We do not live rightly with God, and we are all subject to the penalty of sin, which is death. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. The Scripture makes very clear. And so this king brings about his kingdom of peace through judgment, yes, but he also brings it about through the forgiveness of sins. As Zechariah spoke about his own son who was to be born, John, who would become who would come to be known as John the Baptist. And he spoke about him and said, "You child will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give the knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God." When Jesus came, he began his kingdom work in a way that nobody really expected. He didn't come immediately as a conquering king with armies to slay all the wicked and to put all the world to rights. He actually came and began to establish his kingdom of righteousness and peace and justice by dying on a cross to pay the penalty for sin for all who would turn from their wickedness and trust in him alone as their Savior. You see, it was only the blood of the Savior that could atone for our blood guilt that we had on our hands. He is the sunrise from on high that visits us. He is the one who gives light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. He's the one who guides our feet into the way of peace. And so I close this short meditation with this today. What do you sing, and why do you sing it? What do you sing at this time of year, and why do you sing it? There is something in your heart, as there is something in mine and every human heart, that wants peace, that wants justice. So the question is, will you follow Jesus as the mighty King, the horn of salvation, who can guide our feet into the way of peace? You see, it's only through Jesus that there will be justice. It's only through Jesus that there will be forgiveness. Jesus is the mighty King who brings salvation. God keeps his promises to deliver his people, to be able to serve him in holiness and righteousness in his kingdom of peace, only through Jesus. That's the message of this second Christmas carol. It's a message I hope you sing this Christmas.